up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even jump back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate today. Kate, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. I am coming to you from very chilly Minnesota today.
As opposed to just semi-chilly Atlanta.
It's true.
Next, we've got Pete. Pete, how you doing?
Doing good. Feeling a little bit like a covenless witch, though, now that the show's over.
I feel that. I feel that.
Anyway, yeah, we'll get there. So, and last but not least, we got Steve. Steve, how's your week going?
It's going well. And Derek, I think you might need seagulls for some of us.
Seagulls.
To make people not be able to talk.
At first, I thought you said seagulls.
Okay.
I thought he said seagulls too. I was like, I missed that part.
Mine.
I figured it out first, though. Okay. I did figure out what you meant, Steve.
Yeah. No, I don't need those. I've got a mute button. So, guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some real fun episodes coming up, including one where I may or may not actually watch the movie. So, there's one where I'm honestly considering not watching the movie and just letting these three jokers talk about it.
I know what you're talking about, but I will not spoil it.
Yes. So this week we had the Agatha All Along finale. We had episodes 8 and 9 came out. 8 was the end of the road. Ends up, Jen gets her powers back because Agatha is the one who had bound her to like not be able to use powers. And so she got her powers back. Billy somehow reincarnates Tommy into the body of a kid that we have no idea who it is, but his friends were drowning him. And Agatha dies.
Yep. She sacrifices herself for Billy. Sort of
sacrifices herself for Billy after she was going to suck all of his power. And at the last minute, he reminded her of her son. So she decides not to, and literally gets the kiss of death.
Death.
And ends up dying. And Rio says that Billy, who she wanted to go, she was going to go after Billy because him not actually dying and the other spirit coming into him was seen as unnatural. But the idea is that since Agatha sacrificed herself, Rio is going to let Billy go. Now, what she's going to do for Tommy that he has reincarnated also, we will see. And then it comes to episode, that was all episode 8. Episode 8, you come to realize at the very end that for Tommy, basically, the road had all stuff that was in his bedroom. Billy had all, it was all stuff that was in his bedroom. And we find out that Billy created the road. Because in episode 9, which we're going to talk in a little bit whether or not actually belonged or was needed at all. We see the backstory of Agatha and her son. And her son, she was going to lose her son to a miscarriage. And Rio, as death came along, and said, I can't save him, but I can give you more time. Well, turns out she gives him about 6 years. We come to find out that the Witch's Road song is actually the song, just a song that he and his mom had made up. That there is no real Witch's Road. Agatha just used it as an excuse to kill other witches and take their power.
Which we knew she was doing, but we didn't know how she was doing it. So
right. And we didn't know how much she was doing it.
Right. Or how much she was doing.
And the whole, don't know if you've ever, that makes some of the comments earlier, you know, don't know if you've ever actually walked the road before. The road was actually created out of Billy's mind, like Wanda created the hex.
Right.
Which, that's the tell that he has the same tell as his mother. When he gets super upset and scared, he can create alternate realities.
Yep.
Through his chaos, through what is known as chaos magic, with a CH, not a K. Because there's no
chaos magic. Only magic that can be done by Kate. He's going to drop me down now.
Why you're not doing it with either a cone of silence or a shoe phone?
That's an old joke there.
That is way before your time, Kate.
I got it.
Really got to get smart to get that one. So,
would you believe a couple?
No. Who?
You all see what I have to deal with? Do you all see what I have to deal with, those of you listening?
No, the ones listening would not see what you have to deal with.
Semantics.
That's what we do. So, anyway, that was the first half of the episode. The second half is Agatha comes back as a witch and basically... Ghost, whatever. Yeah.
How many whiskeys have you had tonight, Derek?
I refuse to answer that on the grounds it may incriminate Kate. So she comes back as a ghost and basically explains everything that has happened, basically how it was just Billy's imagination that created the road, how she was going to kill all the other witches anyway, and how he really is, by creating the road, he actually saved Jen.
Right.
Because otherwise she would have been dead. And then, so he seals off the door to the road in the basement and essentially turns it into a tomb or grave marker for the three who died down there. Because if you remember earlier, they show up in a subway station. Mm-hmm. Well, that goes to show that that was kind of to show that Billy created all this underneath Westview instead of above ground in Westview. So anyway, that was a long, long, and at the end, they all agree. Billy and Agatha are going to go off and greet and find Tommy. Now, if that seemed long and confusing, just wait till you watch the episodes. So I'm going to... Okay. I mean, just anyway. So we're going to start though with what was good about this. The two episodes of the finale. What was magical about this finale for this season, Pete? I'll start with you.
Well, I think even though it was an interesting show, because even though you could kind of, you know, you kind of predicted that Rio was going to be Death, and you kind of would like, yeah, Billy's going to be Wanda's kid. Like, they dropped some hints that were obvious, but then there were other hints, like with the road, after a while, you sort of figured out, oh, Billy had a lot of influence on the road, but you didn't know, like, he created it. You didn't know that the Witch's Road didn't exist, things like that. So there were still a lot of things revealed in the last two episodes, and I think it all came together so well. I think that's on the negative side. I think episode 8 was really, really strong. I think the last episode, for being the last episode, wasn't as strong as it should have been, because it took a long time to give us little information.
Yes.
That's a good way to put it.
And the other thing that I don't know if anybody else thought about that, because we did the live watch along, and I was like, oh, there's going to be a post credit sequence. There wasn't. Episode 9 was the post credit sequence.
9.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was episode 9.
It was a 40-minute post or whatever, 35-minute post-credit sequence. And I felt like a lot of that could have been fed to it. Well, again, I'm going to the negative. Overall, I did enjoy both these episodes, though. You know, I wish maybe they'd oriented them different. Characters are great. I love that they let Jen live, that so that it wasn't like all the witches that died. You know, I thought I also liked that they kept Agatha pretty evil. They gave her a teeny bit of redemption, but not enough that you're like, oh yeah, I forgive Agatha for being horrible, because then you get to see her kill like dozens of witches. So,
so many witches.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I'm going to let Steve, I probably talked too long. So go ahead, Steve.
I'm like you. I think I said this during the watch along that I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't get what I still was sort of surprised by the way they went. And like with the ending episode, I've been going back and forth. Do I want it, or do they want the last two episodes like interwoven together? Like throughout the episodes, we're getting flashbacks to Agatha's stories. Because hearing her story after everything's done makes you see the entire series in a completely different way. And like I spent today like rewatching the episodes and went, oh my gosh. I think Kate said it last time, so much foreshadowing that made you really appreciate everything that we sort of dropped in the last few episodes. Yes. So, and like you, Pete, I'm glad that Jen left and lived. So there wasn't not like a complete total wipeout. I think that would have been sort of disappointing. What about you, Derek?
Yeah, I enjoyed episode 8. I enjoyed episode 8. I liked that it gave closure to the series. You could tell that this is there will not be an Agatha season 2. Because yeah, there just won't be. I think the end of episode 8 would have been a great stopping point with him turning around and laughing. That would have been her laughing. That would have been such a Marvel way to end it. And then with the whole, you know, I would have done the post-credit scene as the Agatha backstory a little bit to prove that there was no road, and that it was Tommy, is Billy all along, instead of Agatha all along. And then honestly, I would not have needed the second half of episode 9. That could have been the start of, that could have been put into whatever he's showing up in next. No. Wiccan 3, The Search for Tommy, or whatever. No. Wiccan and the Who, The Search for Tommy. Wait, no, that's... So, yeah, I liked... It had, for the most part, it had some clever parts in the last couple episodes. Had a couple where it was just... Especially in 8, there were a couple moments of chuckling for me. We'll get into the other side on the other. Kate, what else did you like about it?
You all pretty much took all of mine. I really enjoyed episode 8. Steve, I'm curious, did you find even more in your watch back? Because I know I had watched up until episode 7. Did you find even more things that it hinted to in 8 and 9?
Not 8 and 9. Like the one that really caught me off in the 80s episode, Agatha's Trial, one that really made me go, whoa, is Rio goes, I hate ghosts.
Mm. Yep.
So with Agatha ending up a ghost, it really makes me think. And Agatha made the comment in the battle of I took a chance. So again, I think playing to Pete, her saving Billy was not quite as trying to be helpful. Like she was planning something. That's what I'm thinking. And that if it doesn't go this way, at least it'll be this way. Sort of this other ha to death. Like, I mean,
so I really liked episode 8, and I liked parts of episode 9, but Derek nailed it. It wasn't in the right order. in my opinion, they should have done episode 8, like just Agatha's backstory as a short episode 7. No. I'm sorry. Episode 9. They should have taken Agatha's backstory, made that episode 8, and then made episode 8 be episode 9 and left it on a cliffhanger. Or had the Agatha as a ghost be the post-credit scene or whatever.
I think what I was thinking about this too, Kate, and like I think how they could have made it work better too is put the section with Agatha's history in the middle of episode 8.
Yeah.
What?
I was like, put it, you could also put it in the Billy episode.
No, because what I'm thinking is when she releases Jen and then Billy gets out because he gets his wish and Agatha's in there all alone, then have that flashback to the history and then find out there that there's never been a witch's road. You know, and then she plants the flower or whatever she did to get out. And then, you know, you rearrange the episode. So then that goes into the 9th episode, which is the final battle. And then give me the end. And then I kind of agree with you, Derek. End the episode, end the show with episode 9, and then have a post-credit sequence in Agatha's basement where he seals the door, and then Agatha shows up as a ghost there. I think that would have been... Because the problem was you had a very dramatic finish to episode 8, and then episode 9 was, as I said, it was all epilogue. And yeah. It wasn't that it was bad. It just didn't really, it feels like a deflation at the end or something. I don't know how to describe it, because I wouldn't call that episode bad, but it was like I said earlier, right? It was slow and like much of it was unnecessary. It felt like,
that's what I thought. Like you said, I think 8 and 9 would have worked better if it was interwoven, like we got little bits of flashback throughout the episode. But again, does it truly change? I'm like, but would that change my viewpoint of the series?
It would mine. It would. I mean,
right.
So.
I mean, it's still a very strong series.
Yeah. Okay, now, if we're talking about, you know, we've kind of alluded to a little bit that this was not a perfect series by any stretch of the imagination. Kate, I'll start with you on this one. What about the series was cursed? What didn't work?
So are we talking about series as a whole?
No, let's stick with 8 and 9. Let's try and stick with 8 and 9 for right now.
It's what we were just talking about. I felt like it was out of time. It was out of sequence. I think that it's good to know Agatha's backstory. I think that added a lot to it. I felt like her becoming a ghost was a little bit of a cop out. Like it was like,
and then Billy not having the guts to go ahead and like bind her and like cat out, send her out to get rid of her.
It felt like a desperate attempt for a season 2 is what it felt like. I don't have a lot negative to say about this series as a whole or about 8 and 9. I really don't. The only thing I really have is that it felt the ending, as soon as episode 9 ended, I looked at Casey and was like, what? Like we both were just like, wait, what? Huh? So, but I don't have a lot of negative to say about this. I thought this series, I thought this series and episode 8, I thought was brilliant. I thought it was really good. I thought it just tied everything so well. And so once episode 8 ended, I was like, there's a whole other episode.
Right.
Like, what are we going to do with this? So, that's really my only thing. What about you, Pete?
Just listening to everybody talk here, would this series have been better, even though we got some information in episode 9, we found out a little more about her son and everything, would this show have been better without that episode? Like if it had just stopped there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because then you can lead into someone uses the fact that Billy created the Witches wrote it himself against him in a later movie to mess with his mind. Or, I don't know, Marvel, leave something up to your viewers to figure out without spelling it out.
Yeah, because I feel like,
in the post-credit scene, it was Billy all along.
Yeah, but really,
it was Agatha all along. I mean,
no, but Billy created the road.
The road, that was all him.
But she's been playing a con for so long.
That's true.
I mean, if you didn't get that last episode and you didn't go back and realize, like, some of her actions, I think she's saying all along, you realize that she's quite
she
figured
has no
out.
Clue.
I think she figured out quickly.
I will agree. Well, she totally did. Because I will agree, probably the most important piece of information we got from that last episode was that there was no Witch's Road. She and her son created that song and used it to trick witches. So again, you go back to the beginning, and when she first meets Billy, he says, does the Witch's Road exist? And she says, no. She tells him flat out, no, it doesn't. And he doesn't believe her. So she actually tells him the truth right from the beginning. There's some information there. I kind of agree with what Derek's saying and Kate, that it would be a little better series without the ninth episode, but it doesn't ruin the series though. It doesn't turn the series into a bad series. It's just not a great ending. I can't complain much about episode 8 at all. Like, I was enjoying that whole episode so much.
Agreed.
The other thing I don't completely get in episode 9 was Wanda said she brought those witches down to the basement to steal their power.
Agatha.
But Agatha did. I'm sorry. Agatha did. It's my turn. Agatha did. But the thing is, she had no power then. She couldn't take people's power at that point. Right? I mean, she wasn't able to do anything when she was fighting Rio. Right. She had.
She still was able to absorb power.
If they attacked her.
Right. But she would prod them into attacking her. After they sang the song, basically get inside their heads.
And she started complaining. Like, if you go back to watch the episode, I'm pretty sure she started calling them useless. Like, but then the road appeared. So she was setting up to.
Yeah.
Right. But Jennifer didn't have any power, so she couldn't take, she was bound. And that's another thing that I didn't completely understand was like how they didn't explain well, how Agatha had bound Jennifer.
The doctor in the one wanted her bound, and Agatha did the spell for money or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
That was my nitpicking. If I say it was that story was seemed rushed. Like, I feel like I'm glad that they saved her, but it felt like that part of Jen's story was like rushed in episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like really quickly wrapped up with like, okay, sure. She's saved. So.
Yeah. And it was kind of too bad. They just kind of sent the character off at the end.
Right.
But I don't know how she would have fit in though either, but no.
She's actually been in What If in a couple episodes.
Oh, really? As Jennifer Kale?
Yes. And she pairs up with Ghost Rider later.
She is apparently Ghost Rider's cousin.
Yeah. So.
As we said, that's the one other witch that was actually from the comics, whereas Lillian and... what's the other one's name?
Yeah, her.
I can't think of her mom's name, but Alice? Was it Alice?
I don't remember.
Sorry.
Anyways, but those two characters were created for the show, and the other ones are from the comics. So, anyways, Did I let Steve? Yeah, Steve said his thing.
Yeah, I said my part.
Okay. Well,
this chaos magic is screwing me up.
Well, for me, one of my biggest issues is the scene where they're in the morgue, insane asylum, whatever. I was upset that that's one of the scenes they actually showed in the trailers for this. If that's going to be your big climactic end of the road scene, you don't put it in the trailer.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, seeing Jaws swimming at you with the tank already in his mouth in the trailer. We've talked about the troubles we've had with episode 9. Episode 8.
So I got one other question.
Okay.
So Lillian tells Agatha that at a certain point calls you a coward duck.
Right.
How does Lillian know that if she, in theory, died in the like this is past the end of her life and she didn't seem like she was in that scene?
Because
is Lillian really dead?
Because you're not supposed to be able to see the future past when you die.
Right.
That is a MCU. That's been established several times in MCU, is you're not supposed to be able to see the future past when you die.
Right.
Yeah. So,
that's an excellent point of, well, and if she's living her life in multiple, you know, in non-linear order, the fact that she goes and has a seat and say, okay, let's begin, and she's really eager for it compared to how she was. She wasn't really eager for it when she was originally the young girl.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just questioning, is she dead? Because Mrs. Hart.
Yeah.
I'll call her that, even though I know that wasn't her real name. We see her dead. Alice, we see dead.
Dead. And we never see
Lillian,
we
see her fall, but we never see her die. Marvel rules are always, if you don't see them dead,
body.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even Wanda, the whole idea is this really sets up for, and I've read some interviews with the different show creators and stuff. Basically, he was not allowed to answer the question, is Wanda dead? Definitively. Or is the Scarlet Witch dead? I think is the question he was not allowed to answer.
Right.
So, because this whole series sets up recasting. Because if someone dies, they can just go get another actor and stick him in. And look, am I wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this sets up is, because let's face it, we've now had 4 years of three and a half years of Young Avengers appearing, and some of them aren't getting so young anymore. So,
well, I still think they're a lot younger than the Avengers.
Well, yes, but who isn't?
Because even when we started out, Tony was in his 40s, and Steve Rogers was probably, I don't know, he was playing like 30s, I guess. I don't know.
To start anyway, yeah.
You know, so I think as long as they can still get away with playing 20s, I think you can still call them Young Avengers.
Well, that's okay. How old were John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John in Greece as high schoolers? I mean, they were in their upper 20s or low 30s, so.
Yeah.
You just got to keep that gray covered and those, get your diffused shots so you don't really see the wrinkles and call it good. Guys, other overall thoughts on the season? Kate, I'll start with you, or just whoever wants to jump in as far as thoughts on the season as a whole for Agatha all along.
Taking the last episode out of it, I think that this is in the top two best TV shows that Marvel has put out in years. It is up there with WandaVision. especially if you go back and you find all of the Easter eggs that they are dropping throughout the entire series. This show is so good. It's so good. I highly, highly recommend if you are a Marvel fan going and watching this show. I really enjoyed it. Again, with the exception of the last 30 minutes to an hour episode. I loved this show. Pete, what did you think?
I agree with you. I think this is really, you know, if we consider Marvel television on Disney Plus, I think it's hard to argue that this isn't in the top three. I would agree, maybe just a little below WandaVision, just because that was so original. Yep. for much of its run. But I will say, like, WandaVision became very standard Marvel towards the last couple episodes. For the most part, I thought that was very original. This kind of to that degree as well. You know, very much a story that, you know, that it answered a lot of its own questions. It worked as a television show that, you know, the necessity of having the multiple episodes made sense. I mean, we talked about that earlier, that, you know, not that Falcon and the Winter Soldier was a bad show or that Hawkeye was a bad show. They just never really felt like they needed to be six episodes of television or whatever they were, that they could have been a 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie and given us the same story with a few less characters. But this doesn't feel like it could have been a movie. Yep. which I think is to its benefit. So yep. Steve, what about you?
I agree with you. I think episode 7, Lilia's episode, probably one of the best like shows in the series I've seen in a long time. Like watching it back today and how they had pieced all that throughout previous episodes of like it all coming together. I think like Kate and I talked, if you go back and watch all the foreshadowing that they dropped in, being very thoughtful of like, oh my gosh, like all these like little comments. I mean, I think like the 80s episode when they say who's there and they point to Death
and she laughs.
And then Rio starts laughing of like all these things of you're going, okay. I mean, like all those little nods. Very enjoyable. And I agree with you. I think it works best as these episodes instead of a longer movie. What about you, Derek?
Yeah, this is one of the few ones I would say should not have been a movie. This is one of the only ones that the true episodes needed to be episodes. I think that as far as Marvel series we watched, I'd probably put it top two or three. I don't think it's anywhere near WandaVision. But it was for me to say, yeah, it wasn't too bad for Marvel, especially if you can drop episode 9. But you can't drop episode 9. So
no, you gotta include it.
You gotta include episode 9. So, and that kind of brings us then to our last little
I just say one other thing that I, going back to what is great about the show, lots of great acting, everything. Aubrey Plaza just killed it as Death in that role. She was so good. She wasn't in a lot of the episodes either. If you think about it, she was maybe only in like 4 episodes.
Yeah.
And, or maybe there was a few shots in other ones, but like, oh man, she was great. So sorry.
And we've mentioned this before, but the fact that they used almost entirely practical effects for this. Almost entirely practical effects.
Did you know, like I saw a shot of her, that skull, half face skull thing?
His mask.
That was practical. Yeah, that wasn't CGI.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. About the biggest CGI thing had to have been when Agatha was possessed and the body went all funky on that. Unless she's like quadruple jointed. So
there was CGI in it, but it was it was used
sparingly,
little bits and pieces, it really says something that this was a, as I said, supposedly like a $44 million show, and then you watch What did we just watch? The Star Wars show, the Star Acolyte Wars
one, and no, which, not Andor.
Acolyte.
Yeah, it was Acolyte that was 180 some million.
It was like almost $200 million they spend on the TV series. It just shows that like throwing money at
a computer
Disney Plus is not the solution to making good shows. It's getting a writer that really has a solid idea and is able to incorporate it all together. And I shouldn't criticize that part, because one of the things I liked about The Acolyte is they kind of trying to do what this show did, but it didn't succeed. It
did not work.
Yeah.
So, okay. I will say one criticism. In that last episode with the quote aging of Audrey Plaza, or de-aging, or however they changed her, looked terrible.
When she was in the
1700s, yes. Just if she's this character now, they plumped her up a little bit, and I don't know why. I don't know if it was to make her look softer or what, but the face looked a whole lot more round. And again, this is not a body image thing. This is a why did they make that choice thing.
I didn't even notice that, so I won't comment.
So, I don't know. Maybe that was just me that noticed that a little bit, but she was not nearly as severe as when she was in this one. Now, maybe that's because she was this one. She had no reason to hide that she was deaf. But you'll notice that in that episode 9, Agatha knew that she was had conversations that she was deaf, and was, because when she shows up, when she's in all that pain and going to have that miscarriage, when Rio shows up, she's going, no, don't take him yet.
Yeah.
So, well,
and I think we got to assume that that happens after Agatha kills her coven in the scene we see in WandaVision.
Yes. Oh, it's like, about 60 or 70 years after that.
Yeah. Oh, right. Cause I guess that would make sense. Salem was like 1680s and 90s or something like that. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So,
okay. As we always do, whenever we watch a series or a movie or something like that, we give it cups of pixie dust out of 5, and we're going to go with the entire series, including episode 9, Kate. What do you give Agatha All Along?
What did I give WandaVision?
A 5.
I'm going to give this a 4.
Okay. Pete?
Yeah, I give this show a 4. I think if they had stuck the landing a little better, I might have gotten a 4.5 for me. But yeah, 4. Steve?
I'm also a strong 4. I really enjoyed it. Actually, I'm okay with episode 9. I don't know if it's in the right place, but I still enjoyed episode 9 because it gave you a little bit more of, makes you see the series in a completely different way. So,
yeah. And I want to give this a 2.5 with a qualifier that's a 2.5 for me as an overall rating. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I'm not a Marvel fan, and anything above about a 3 is I would go seek this out and watch it again type thing. Mm-hmm. I will not go seek this out and watch it again.
I will say this though, watching you in the watch along, Derek, original watching, you liked this more than a 2.5. Because I could tell you were into this show.
Not the entire series though.
I'm surprised you didn't give this a 3. I guess I am and I'm not, because you don't like scary, and some of these episodes were on the scarier side. So, but I'm surprised with as close as this was to WandaVision for me, I am surprised that you didn't give this a 3.
For me, it was hard to connect to a lot of the characters, to be honest.
That's fair.
And I connected more to the characters in WandaVision. I think that's part of the reason. Because I gave WandaVision a 4. So a point to 1.5 lower than WandaVision for me for this show feels about right. And yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think I'll bump it up to a three with a just with that qualifier of it's not something I think I'll go seek out again. That thing.
So. I feel like there's Marvel things you've given two and two and a halves that you've liked a lot less than this.
See, I was just looking back at that, and there's really not stuff I've like a two and a half or a three is like. I rarely give anything a three in Marvel.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's why I am definitely willing to bump this up to a three. It's going back, a lot of the stuff I have actually liked, I've given twos and two and a halves of are on the higher end of my Marvel scale, are twos and two and a halves. So, yeah, I'd give this a three with the qualification that I'm probably never going to go back and watch it again. So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
We just have a little bit. All we have is several release dates were announced for Marvel on Disney Plus. They include Deadpool and Wolverine on November 12th, Daredevil series on March 4th, Ironheart series on June 24th, and Wonder Man series December 25th. And that's it.
Yeah, the Wonder Man is the one that could be interesting because in the comics, he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
So them doing a series on him, especially after the Fantastic Four movie comes out, because he's one of one of his biggest foes is the Fantastic Four.
Mm.
Which makes sense if you kind of feel that the Wonder Man, at least the preview kind of looked like it was taking place, had that Wonder Years type feel, take place in the 80s. Yeah. So, and the fact that they're trying to set the Fantastic Four in, what, the 60s? Is at least kind of how...
Yeah, the impression I get is the Fantastic Four is set in the 60s, but in a different universe.
Yes, yeah.
From this one, which I think is 616.
I thought it was 6-2. Oh, never mind. That's
Stitch.
Yeah, that's Stitch. Mm-hmm. Next week, something I'm actually really looking forward to. It's a documentary called Music by John Williams. And it's it basically goes through the life of John Williams and looks at his compositions. We've had good and not so great luck with these documentaries about like composers and musicians. I will say my former high school band director watched this last weekend and said he really enjoyed it. So, and he's kind of along the lines of me as far as pickiness, as far as what do I really want to know about the person? So.
Yeah. My thought is worst case, it's like a greatest hits clip show.
Yes.
Which would still be pretty good.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So I feel like this won't be bad. It's just, as you just said, is it going to give us things that we didn't know about? And
right.
And the thing is, like, it's probably not that hard to give things that the average person doesn't know about, because the average person doesn't probably pay that much attention to composers.
Yeah.
You know? So I think maybe this group would be more aware than most.
I would agree with that. Yeah, we're a little bit more detail oriented on those kind of things and trivia oriented that we want to know. We see something we like, we want to go learn more about it.
Though there isn't too much of a more famous composer or orchestral composer than John Williams.
Not for soundtracks.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah. I don't know. And actually probably these days there is probably not. Back in the day, I would have put Elmer Bernstein up there.
Yeah, back in his day, he certainly was, you know, and there's a few others that are up there.
Alan Silvestri, you've got
right
a couple of those others, which they may or may not actually like mention in this. So as I said, I'm looking forward to seeing this. That's what we'll be watching next week. Guys, if you have suggestions on what you want us to see us watch, or something you say absolutely do not watch, let us know. Email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. come in on our YouTube, Facebook, Insta, Twitter, wherever. If you watched our watch along that Pete, Steve, and I did with the last two episodes, let us know if you want more of that, because the three of us enjoy doing it, but it's also honestly time consuming, guys. So if you want to see us do more of it, let us know.
Sorry, I couldn't join.
Oh, no.
But I will join for the next one.
Yeah, well, I think it was important that it was a strong show we all liked.
Agreed.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I couldn't have imagined watching the last episode of Secret Invasion together and going like, oh, it's so bad.
If most of us didn't want to watch the last episode of Secret Invasion, yeah, I would agree with that. So, guys, we have new episodes coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.